What up, though? You are tuning in to What Works For Us, the Black Queer Lifestyle Podcast,
where we'll discuss everything black and queer,
mental health,
relationships,
art,
fashion.
We take it back our culture, y'all. Carry my city like some shoulder pads and strap. Evidently, I've been killing. Hey.
Hey.
Hey, Emerson. Question, would you be, because you know, Emerson is our producer, y'all. When you be going back and doing these videos and it be like, do you have to edit the beginning part sometimes?
I'll edit the beginning and the end. Because sometimes I think last week I had to do it at the end too, so.
Well, hey, y'all.
Happy
you
Friday.
Are watching or... Happy Friday. Yeah, we on Friday. But you are watching or listening to
What Works For Us.
Really, Emerson, you were delayed.
I was not delayed. First of all, I couldn't see you, so I didn't know when you was going to say, you are the one to be off. You and stop trying to use that reverse college psychology BS on me. You be the one to be delayed. A lot of times, I couldn't see you. And then, two, you be the delayed one, not me.
But so, anyway, I have a question. How can I start it? It be delayed. That only makes sense if I'm the one that's initiating.
You are a delay in saying what works for us. You don't start what works for us. Now, to this time, you might have didn't, but in the past couple of times, you be the one that's delayed. I'll say it fast and you say it slow. So I'm trying to...
Oh, yeah, I say it.
Yeah, you say what works for us slow. So I be trying to match you because you normally say that slow. So that's what's me trying to slow down. And then today you wonder what works for us. You said it faster this time. So I can't keep up with your speed or your tempo. So
I've asked you to go to 10. I've been asked you to bring it down to like a 5. And we're going to do it again.
I'm not on a 10.
Yes, you is. Yes, you is. Oh, I got to redo my name. Okay, we're going to do it again. 1, 2, 3. What works...
You just want
okay.
to start on that
part? Okay, how about you start it this time? Go ahead. You introduce the show.
This is so ghetto. Why? Aren't we still recording?
Yeah, we still recording. They like to see what's going on.
Well, they know at this point. We've been talking about this for at least 2 to 3 minutes. So I think but they know they're watching at this point what works for
all
us.
All black?
Hi. It's all black. It's all queer. And that's it. And that's all.
Okay, so... Well, usually after we do our check-in, well, our thing is time for our check-in, right? Or do you want to do some commentary? Because, you know, you be switching up the format as we go.
We don't even have a docket like most podcasts. What are you talking about? I don't switch up no forecast. I don't switch up nothing. We just go with the flow. But if you, whoever want to check in first, it don't matter to me.
It is time to what?
Check in.
Oh, I was like going slow again.
There you go. Now I tried to speed up this time and then you went slow. So I don't know.
I'll be trying to be on some kind of beat. I don't know what you...
There's no music. So what beat are you on?
It's a whole lot of money in this motherfucker.
Oh, I don't hear that song.
Barbia. Okay, so I guess I go first because I think you checked in last on the last episode as you typically don't. So I'm going to give you a break this time. This week, oh my God. Oh, so this week was, I guess it's gonna be, I let my topic be ballroom related. So some of you guys may know or might not know that this would be my 20th year involved in ballroom.
Oh my goodness, wow.
I came out of ballroom in 2001.
I'm shocked you shared that.
Huh?
I'm shocked you shared the number.
Why, that made me sound old?
You had the Mariah Carey syndrome. Y'all don't normally share numbers. Usually what y'all normally go, the anniversary of the 12th or whatever.
No, it's 20 years. And we kind of talked about ballroom a little bit a couple of weeks ago. We came back prior to Pride. But basically, I am new to Kiki. So I am new to Kiki. I have a chapter in Austin. I'm Father Austin Marciano. Shout out to the House of Marciano. They are 8 years old. We are a couple of years from being legendary and whatever as far as 10 years old house. And I'm also in the House of La Van. That is my mainstream house. And people be asking me, what do I walk? I got a lot of that this week, last prior weekend. And what's so funny to me is that like when I get back into ballroom, my intention is getting back to ballroom was not to walk anymore, right? You know, I was like, okay, I don't really do the walk. You know, I had an opportunity in La Vin to, you know, run our nationwide community service program, XL Cares and stuff like that. So I wasn't really thinking about walking, but over the last couple of weeks, I've been, you know, walking a little bit here and there. So typically my categories would be like realness. Like I started off as schoolboy realness. I got a couple other years back in the day in Detroit. That was, you know, I was in House of CMB, and that was really, you know, my main category growing up. Then I kind of started walking Junior Sex Siren, Shine. Remember Shine, Evanston? Yeah, I remember one time that we did this, like we went to Ohio. Me and Godfather LaVan Ron was talking about this ball. I remember being in college and I was in Bowling Green, and Shine met me on campus, and we drove to Columbus and walked the ball. We walked Sex Siren. We had like this, we had brought this air mattress, and we had like candles. And we did Team Sex Siren and stuff like that. And Chop got chopped. They had Chop Shine for a Sex Siren, but it was Team Sex Siren, so we both got chopped. That was so funny. I had forgot about that, but I remember that, whatever. Because they just was not seeing it for her. For Sex Siren. Remember, she used to walk everything. She used to walk like Broadway, Face, Sex Siren. They was like, girl, you can't walk everything. Like, what category do you walk? And I remember that. That was just so funny. But so I was walking Junior Sex Siren. I remember when I beat Leland Prodigy. That was a big thing because he was
Leland. Oh my gosh.
He was the Sex Siren. And when I beat him, and I remember I was in a relationship. Parco always bring that up, that I pulled my penis out on the run on in front of the judges. Well, listen, I had to win that night. And I remember it would be like, that was like my biggest like ballroom moment at that time when I had beat Leland for Sex Siren and stuff like that. But I did feel bad that I actually pulled my stuff. It wasn't like all the way out, but I pulled it out enough where it was, you know, I got the votes, but still, that wasn't a goal to do that. But you know, when you're competing and it's down to like the last vote, you had to do what you had to do. And I remember that night. I remember my house just being like, oh my God, I can't believe you beat Leland. Blah, 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 blah. That was really fun. So anyways, I walked through the Junior Sex Siren. Then when I was in Atlanta, my majority category that I walked for like a decade was like Pretty Boy Sex Siren, which was really weird category for me, being like a darker complexion, because I would always go against all like these light skin, you know, kind of guys, good hair, what they deem good hair, stuff like that. And that category was always interesting to me because, you know, I never really considered myself to be able to walk that category, but I knew I couldn't walk schoolboy. Then at that time, I couldn't do executive, so I was like, I'm gonna do Pretty Boy, which really went well. I mean, I've got a few grand prizes for that, but it was always like, they used to try to have like Pretty Boy beef. I'm like, y'all little punks, like, not to use that word, you know, in a way that being derogatory, like, cause they gay, but y'all like, and nobody gonna beef with y'all and y'all walking Pretty Boy realness, like, get out of here, right? I'm gonna let y'all bring this on down. But people keep asking me. So now I don't know, like I was gonna walk Everyday Realness this weekend in North Carolina for the West Ball, which was, you know, deemed the ball of the year, the most anticipated ball of the year. Child, it was so much going on. It was fun. We came in on a bus with the, you know, we had the LaVan University theme. We had like our socks with LaVan University, our patches, our badges, like bitch, our hats. We had so much branded accessories on top of the whole bus, two buses that took us. And they still talking about it. Like if I get on Facebook right now, there would be a post about LaVan and our impact at the ball. I was gonna walk Everyday Realness. They didn't get to my category because they was fighting. They was Mason, they was doing all types of stuff. So the ball, so the fab ball, like the ball that you saw, Emerson, that ball didn't even get past like category six.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, they didn't get past category six because they were fighting. First they had, because it was a no smoking rule. Like you couldn't smoke at all. No cigarettes, no blunt. It was a nice venue. You couldn't do vape because I got in trouble because I had my vape. They would be like, but I was smart to only vape in our dressing room. I didn't vape in public, but then they made an announcement. You motherfuckers act like y'all cannot smoke. No vaping. Y'all acting like crackheads. Y'all can't even go a couple of hours without smoking weed. What is wrong with y'all? I'm going to put y'all bitches on a bus to rehab. You can't even go a few hours. Like, they would go off because people just was trying to sneak and smoke. And that was a thing. And then child, I don't know what happened. Somebody had got maced and the ball over, but they had a second location for backup.
Okay.
So it was a 2-hour break. So you had to go to the next function, which was this hot ass gym, Evanston.
I think I saw that.
No air. So the second day, we went there twice. We went there the next day for the aftermath ball, but the first day after the ball that got shut down.
Was the one with old girl with the $5,000 dress?
No, that was the real ball. That was the ball. Okay. So that same day, they had a backup plan. So they had a ball the next day, right? But if this ball was get shut down, they were going to go straight into that same venue that they had for the next day. They had it for 2 days. Okay. But the first day, we was in that venue, no air. So we in the gym, no air. And when I say no air, not a fan, not air condition, nothing. It's just in your own sweat in July.
And I know y'all vaccinated up, but you know, Rona's still lurking. I know a lot of y'all vaxxed and waxed, but I'm just saying Rona's still lurking. So that's a lot of recirculated air.
It was death. It was death. Like, I had hitched a ride from that. But anyway, the next day they had the air on, but that's what pissed me off though. Okay, so why did y'all have the air on yesterday? Today the air is on, but yesterday got it, but I don't know. But anyway, and so that was basically it. I had a really, really good ballroom weekend, ballroom festivities. I got to meet some new people from all across the country. I got to re-engage with some Detroit people. The Detroit chapter came, and you know, it's so funny. And I guess I'm about to tell my age again. So the Detroit member, and we was talking, he was like, yeah, I graduated from King. I thought, I graduated from King too. And he was like, yeah, I graduated 16. I was like, bitch, I was like, I graduated the old building.
Huh? He graduated out of the new building. You graduated right.
I was like, oh, I graduated 03. He was like, I graduated 60. I said, oh my god, like we are 13 years apart. I was like, oh my god, you are a baby. But he kept saying, but I didn't even know he was that young. He didn't know I was that old, so it was just funny because I was like, bitch, I didn't know you was that young, and I didn't know you. He didn't know I was that old. But it was good to kind of, they was like, you need to come on home. I was like, I'm gonna come to Detroit. And I do miss, like, they made me miss Detroit, like talking about what's going on and like just being in the city and then actually being around them, right? It made me miss home. It made me miss the people we grew up with and the energy that Detroit people have. And it's like no other energy. And so they were just giving me like just so much good energy. So I enjoyed that. So yeah, I think we need, Emerson, we talked about it in the last episode, that we both need to make a trip back home and just see what's going on. Like what is happening in Detroit? I don't know. And so that's my check-in, Emerson. By the end of the, can we commit to the end of the year or do we want to just do a 2022?
It would have to be 2022 for me. I don't think I would be able to commit. Because first of all, they're going to start getting cold. And I'm not doing anything cold in Detroit. Sorry. So next year. Maybe spring, summer, fall.
Spring, summer, fall.
Well, it's funny. Okay, well, going back to your story, it's funny that you talk about Leland, because you talk about Leland walking the balls. I'll never forget, I was over Weaver's apartment back when Weaver used to stay off of Warren in Southfield Freeway. It was apartments like right behind that gas station on the corner. I don't even know if you remember. It was right by Rutland, and it was a gas station on the corner, and it was some apartments right behind. Weaver used to stay in those apartments right behind there, right by Gigi's. Weaver used to stay right by Gigi's. Anyway,
The club Gigi.
The club Gigi. Gigi's club. So, you know, that was my hangout spot pretty much when I was in high school, you know, because I didn't fuck with people in high school. So that was my after school spot. They talking about being on the corner, being with the niggas. No, bitch, I'm going over Weaver's. Like, which okay. I'm not, you know, that was my thing with cheerleader and, Chris and oh my gosh, Terrell, Tramiel, Kevin, all of us. But anyway, So Leland one time had came over. This was before he even got popular on the ballroom scene. And he was acting like he was walking a ball. So Leland goes in the back and pretty much like strips and comes out with a sock on his dick and start dancing. And I'm like, I mean, and the dick, it was like, I'm sitting like on the floor and the dick just flopping right in my face with the sock. I'm like, what is going on here? Like Leland was so... He was being a little thought bot because he wanted to fuck or fuck somebody. But I'll never forget that. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you naked, your dick flopping in my face with a sock on it? Oh my God.
Well, that's why I did what I had to do to win that trophy.
Right. Because he clearly be ready to pull it out. Okay. Clearly he just gonna pull it out. I think I even seen it because I think he uncut. Because I think I saw it. So I'm like, what is going on?
But anyway, the only way you saw it?
Huh?
Was that the only reason you saw it?
No, he showed it to everybody. It was nothing. Leland didn't like me. I don't even think like that, like as a person. Like, you know, so but anyway, because I thought he was a little arrogant. But anyway, My check-in is not as exciting as Tyreek's. I have not done anything. It's the same old for me. So I know you'll get tired of me saying that, but that's just what it is. But one thing that didn't make it to my check-in last week that I forgot was something else I did during the panoramic outside of going down memory lane on Google Maps. This was back in March, April. I took a personality assessment and...
Did you pass?
No, it's not a... You don't get graded on it. It's an assist. But it's the results that came back were a little shocking. It's actually E.T., the Hip Hop Preacher's personality assessment. So, you know, because I rocks with E.T., the Hip Hop Preacher. So, anywho, it came back that, well, here, let me show you what all the different ones that comes that are for, that all the different categories you can be up under. Mm-hmm. There is, and he does it based off of, to make it easy for people to be able to better be able to understand what their personality is. He uses like the flight industry as an example. So all the names have to do with something in the flight industry. So there's the pilot, which is the D, the flight attendant, which is the I, the grounds crew, which is the S, and then the air traffic controller, which is the C. I was a high I, as they call it, which was, I'm a flight attendant. So that means that I'm a people person. And I'm like, no, that's what I said. I'm like, I'm not a people person. That's why I'm like, I wanted to send it back. Like, y'all need to redo this again. But it's based off of what I told it. Once I actually went through it, I'm like, well, I told, this is everything that I said. So it really just made me start thinking like, okay. When I told Kristen this, she was like, I think you are a people person. And I'm like, I don't know. But then once I read it, I was like, okay, I am a people person with organized groups of people. I'm a people person.
Okay.
And if I don't know, and it's a whole bunch of people I don't know, and it's too many energies, that's when I'm not. So that's pretty much what the assessment told me. It told me that I'm a high I when I'm in my natural. So if you hear me say I'm in my natural, that means that I'm just feeling like myself. I don't have any defenses up. I don't feel like I have to block anybody or I have to, my third eye is not really on like that. I'm in my natural. But when I'm not my natural, it's like this. So when I'm not my natural, I'm not a people person, which makes sense. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. I don't fuck, when I'm not feeling myself, my third eye is on, energies is off, I'm very much so guarded, don't want to deal with people, don't want to be around them, da 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 da. So, that actually is a problem. He says, like, that's actually an issue. He's like, you got to figure out why, if you feel like you're always in your unnatural, why are you always in your unnatural? And I'm like, huh. So I've been thinking about this a lot since then. Like, okay, why am I always not in my natural? But I think, honestly, if I think about, like, Austin, I feel like in Austin as a city, I'm in my natural. I think that's one of the main reasons I wanted to move here, because I was like, I felt like I can be in my natural here. So overall in Austin, I'm in my natural. Now, if I get around a certain group of people, I still might go down again. But my whole point of me saying this is kind of, and it kind of ties in with the topic too. It's going to kind of tie in with everything I'm talking about today. But my whole point of me saying this is me being a people person. I've already said this, but now that, you know, outside is supposedly open, even though I ain't going to go there. Outside is open and, you know, it's time to be mingle, you know, mingle, and I'm single, it's time to mingle. Mm-hmm. That just made me think like, okay, yeah, I need to actually get out of my comfort zone and actually get out, even though it might be uncomfortable. Cause I thought about it. I was like, when I used to work at places with people, I would hang out with people from work. We would in groups. So it's like, you know, once I got, we were seeing each other every day, we got to know each other, we cool. Like I would always be in some group of people that we would hang out and do stuff.
But even so, growing up, like even the Beavenhausen, you were always
always ready to go out. I would go out Friday, Saturday, like the weekend came, I'm out, I'm in the streets. You know, that's me. So it's like, so that assessment, it's not like I don't want people to think I'm using that to tell me who I am. I know who I am, but sometimes when you do stuff like that, it's like it awakens you like, wait a minute, I'm off. Like this is right, but I'm not in alignment with this thing because something's off. So I just say that to say, I thought that was interesting that I am a people person. It's something I've really been thinking about, like even with like certain like trainers and stuff I've took recently with instructors and stuff. And they're like, you know, Eric, you need to get out. Like I'm like, they like, we need to be like, you're going to get all your clients out. That's where you're going to meet all your people. You're going to meet them outside. You're not, you know, the internet's fine. And you know, you could do your thing there, but you're going to get your clients out. And I'm like, okay, I know these things, but it's just funny when you assess certain things, you be like, thumbs off. And then you all the, like you hear, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say like, people will tell you things and somehow you don't listen, or things will be like obvious and you just like, you're trying to ignore it. But I feel like as of late, these past since the beginning of this year, I think this whole, I need to be outside regardless of, you know, what's going on, or the song with Remy and Fat Joe. I haven't heard the song, but you said it was somehow outside. Regardless of anything they're saying,
back outside.
Right. Before the panoramic happened, I was saying how I need to get around people and stuff like that. So it's like in my face now. To a point now, today. I guess my whole point is I keep on being reminded of this. It's not something I'm just thinking and it's like, it's, you know, I'm just crazy or something I'm just making up. I think it's something that something bigger than me keeps telling me, because one of my first fashion YouTube girlfriend did a blog post today about dating. And she was like, have y'all deleted all y'all dating apps? That was like the name of the blog. And I'm like, I was like, yeah, I have. So I just read it from a heterosexual woman's perspective. I wanted to see, well, did you delete all yours? I thought it was popping for y'all. Long story short, it wasn't. She deleted all her apps, and she was saying how she, at first, when she first, like, she had moved from, North Carolina to New York. When she first went to New York, she said it was popping in 2006 to 2010, dating apps was popping. She was like, but since then, she hasn't really had any luck with it. So she said during the pandemic, she was having a lot of the same experiences I've had. I didn't get on dating app during the pandemic, but she was having the same experiences of talking to people online, and it don't go nowhere. It only gets to a certain point and it's like, it just fizzles off. And I thought that was just me, but clearly that's a lot of people. It just don't be popping for everybody. So she deleted everything and she started going outside, and she was talking about how something I do, and I know, you know, I do, when you out in public and you just don't want to be looking at nothing, I pick up my phone like, well, I'm not about to be staring at people. I'll stare at this. I'm not going to be staring
always.
Yeah, that's, but it's the, but she said like, it's like a nervous type thing. And I guess for me it is, it's like, okay, girl, I'm not about to be looking at, just staring at y'all. But she was like, how she stopped doing it. She was like, I start going out by myself. And she said, I put my phone down. I just look up and look around. And she was like, and when you do that, that's when you pick up everything. That's when you pick up other people's energy. That's when you pick up people looking at you. That's when you pick up all these signals or stuff, or people, it's a way for people to, it's almost like a way to open yourself up, kind of like a peacock.
Invitation.
Yeah, it's like an invitation. Yeah, it's like you letting people know like, hey, you can come over and talk to me.
Because if you like this,
it cuts everybody off. Okay, but you do it.
Not interested.
But that's what she and I both did to kind of, it was like, we did it intentionally. So, or I do it, but she stopped doing it and she's been meeting men all summer. So,
damn, already?
Bitches, oh, yes.
The week of July.
She said don't be surprised if I show up married with pregnant with a baby. She was like, that's how serious she said it's been with her meeting men. But she said she's, you know, she had to get outside and really start being present, mm-hmm, in the places that she goes. And I've been saying this, but this is just a reminder, like, Eric, you have to get over that. Like, this whole thing, and I think a lot of it stems from childhood stuff. So that's another thing too. I took it all the way back. I dig deep. I talk shit and I talk about how people need to dig deep. I dig deep in myself, and I know I got some fucked up childhood shit that I have to work through. So that's something big that I have to work through. It's just like going out by myself, sitting at a bar, not looking at my phone, and just looking around, looking crazy, and seeing what I pick up, or seeing who I see, or seeing who I talk to. Even Maya Sly said she did that recently, and she ended up getting a check out of it. Like, she was at the bar, and she met some dudes, and they was talking, she was telling them about some stuff she got going on, and she was taking donations for an event she had, and the dude was like, invoice her. And he paid her the next day to help donate to her event. So, like,
I'm like, invoice for her for what?
I didn't know. Oh, yeah. Invoice. He was just saying invoice her to whatever, I guess the amount that she would want for her event or whatever. And he gave it to her. So I say all that to say, I've been doing that. That's something that's big. I've been doing is a lot of self-assessment. And that's a big hurdle I got to get over to get outside, to start network, not just to meet men per se, which, I mean, I love meeting men, but men. Just the network.
The menses.
Yeah, I love meeting the
menses. We love the menses. No, I mean, I agree with you. Like, going back to kind of like to tie in what I was saying in my check-in to what you were saying. Like, when I went to North Carolina, I went by myself. I literally did. So I was around hundreds and hundreds of people by myself in a sense. And I had to decide when I wanted to be inviting, or when I was like, girl, I'm tired. Like, you know, I'm not even interested in having a conversation.
Yeah.
Even within my group, you know, that we, you know, it was all love. Like, it was very welcoming and inviting. It was the first time that I had been around the whole House of Lavin. And like, it was almost like 150 of us. So it was a lot of us. And so, you know, we had all these different parties and stuff. And I'm the only one that's not a part of the chapter. Well, I'm not the only one, but I definitely am not a part of a chapter, and I will probably be one of the newer ones, right? Mm-hmm. And so that was like two things. And so I came in like, okay, yeah, a lot of them know me from online, and they know me from the program XL Cares, but they don't really know me, right? Mm-hmm. And so what was funny about that, just to follow up what you were saying, yesterday someone posted in a group, it was a review of the weekend. It was like it was three questions. Name three people that you got that you didn't know that you really got a chance to know. Name what the favorite moment of the weekend. That was number one. Number two, name three people that you didn't know, but got a chance to get to know this weekend. And three, name three people that you would like to get to know that you didn't get a chance to get to know this weekend. And my name popped up on a couple twos and threes. So some people that did get a chance to get to know me a little better, but it was some people that was like, well, I didn't really, you know, because people was calling me reserved. We talked about this the other day. Some people was calling me reserved, but it wasn't that I was being reserved. I was just trying to figure it out. Some people I felt more comfortable to be like, bitch, this is Tyreek, you know what I'm saying? But you know, I think, but then like what you're saying is really, really good. But I think at our age, it comes where we still have discernment, right? Yes, I'm going to go to the, I'm going to go and put my phone down, be open. But bitch, when you looking around, your eyes is going to be like, skirt at certain people. And then maybe, you know, batting a lash at other people, right?
Right?
Like, you have to be very careful about that energy. You do it. Like, when you inviting people in, I think at this point in my life, I do feel like I'm still selective in a way. And I don't know where that's coming from, because I don't think I've ever been that way. I've always been like, I don't know a stranger, right? Yeah. But now I feel myself being a little bit more selective about energy. Like, I'm really big on energy and personality. So I'd be very selective. And it doesn't mean that these people don't have the energy that I can't be around with in a group setting, going back to what you were saying, but that one-on-one or that... Yeah, that's a little different. So that's interesting. But I had a question for you. What was one of the questions that they asked you on that test that you took that led you to be an I?
Any of the questions? I don't even remember. It's been so long. I got this up here. Let's see. No, it's no questions on here, but it had to be questions around stuff like this. I don't remember. Like, I think one of the questions was, like, they would ask you all these multiple choice. It was all multiple choice, so I don't remember the questions. I really don't. It was a long time ago, and I don't have it here. It just has what our natural perspectives are, or what we are, us flight attendants. But, yeah, I don't remember. I think they would ask you, like, in a group setting, like, if in a group setting, what would you consider yourself to be? One of the words was gregarious. And stuff. I'm like, which was a big word. I'm like, gregarious. I know what it means now, but I remember that being someone. I'm like, what is that? But I don't think I chose that. But anyway, I don't remember. But I have to get back to y'all because I still have access to it. I can always come back and be like, well, okay, this is what the assessment comes up, person crush out, but I don't remember. But yeah, it's funny that you say no, but I agree with you 1,000% as far as the energy. I'm not letting anybody in. Now, that's another thing. I'm about to get woo-woo with you now. That's another thing about my frequency and vibrations and stuff like that. That's why I keep on trying to do stuff to raise mine, because my thing is I want to connect with people that's on the same wavelength, the same frequency as me. If it's anything that's low vibrating, I'm hoping, and I think if you, once you start really getting, being intentional with that kind of stuff, people that don't, you're not aligned with, or you don't, y'all not on the same vibrations, a lot of times they off they self. Like a lot of times they remove they self. You don't even have to worry about them coming your way. They're not gonna come your way because they can feel that there's no, y'all not in alignment. You're somewhere else. But people that are aligned with you on the same vibration a lot of times do. So That's my hope, that I'll just find people or meet people. No matter, you know, I know I talk about stuff about the Wahite people, but no matter race or anything, Wahite. but I'm not saying it doesn't matter. I'm still gonna have my third eye open, but I'm just saying I'm gonna have to be open all the way around. But to kind of tie into what we're talking about today, I'm reading about a scenario that I read online because, well, let me kind of give some backstory. The reason
can I just say my cocktail real quick?
Oh yeah, please do. Okay. Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm listening. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. To tie into kind of what we're talking about as far as today, what I'm going to read a little scenario, something I read online. Another one of the reasons why I think I'm talking about the personality test and me being a people person, me being outside, and my girl Moreau talking about being outside, is because the internet, it's like, I think the internet can like fog our brains to make us think that, you know, a lot of stuff that's going on on the internet is a representation of what's going on in the world, just all the way around all together. And I know it kind of is, but then it's kind of not, because somebody read a statistic recently talking about Twitter, and they was like, Twitter, only 8% of people in the whole world is on Twitter, and only 3% of them are active. So that's, I mean, of all the 70 million, 80 something million people that I think that's on this earth, or I might be a million, billion, I might be saying that wrong, but it's a lot of mofos on earth. Only 8% of them are on Twitter. But I think sometimes that we can use that kind of stuff where, you know, especially after being in the panoramic for over a year, we can think that that is a representation of stuff that's going on in the world. With the social justice issues, entertainment, all that kind of stuff, we can just think that as like a barometer to think that that's what's going on in the world. And I think for me, and even that thread you sent me the other day about all those girls and stuff was going through, like I only read a little bit of them, but I just think that for me, I got to get out. I like the internet, love the internet, and I'm going to use the social media. Definitely, I'm going to use social media to my advantage, but I think I need to get outside and actually deal with people just from that's outside of the internet, because I do consume a lot of the internet. And I think even me, sometimes I can get a little bit like thinking that this is just representations of what's like, you know, even with, you know, the some of these men out here who will need to be healed and all that, just the fucked up people that's on the internet. I mean, just seriously, I just think that those are representations of what is everybody, and not everybody. You might think it's everybody. That's what everybody is. So this story I'm about to read is another fuck. Well, this isn't really on the internet, but it was a thread that was on the internet that a lot of people was talking about. And my thing is, I need to get outside to meet people that are not like this. Because I think that, you know, I think that people, if you get caught up in this shit too much, you start thinking this is everybody, and this is not representation of everybody. But hold on, let me pull it up. It's kind of long. I'm gonna try to read it slow. What you say?
Pull up to my bumper, baby.
Okay, so the title of this is "Am I the Asshole?" Well, I guess I could read this part. Yeah, I'll read this part. Am I the asshole for inviting my, he's 29, my girlfriend that's 28 on an expensive vacation and expecting her to pay all of her share? I make a lot more than her. Now, me reading that, I already answered the question. To me, are you the asshole?
Yeah, I make, because if you make more than her, why wouldn't you just pay for it? I don't get that.
Well, let's listen to this story. Okay, so. Hello. My girlfriend, myself, my parents, and my brother and his wife all went on vacation in another country a week ago. My brother and I were the ones who did most of the planning of the itinerary, although we did ask everyone else for input. For background, I make around $150K as an IT consultant. My girlfriend is a teacher making $45K. My parents are pretty affluent as well, and my parents are pretty affluent as well as my brother and my sister-in-law. My girlfriend knew this trip was coming up and took on a second job waitressing on the weekends for several months to get ready for it. We have always split things 50-50 in the 2 years we've been together. There were a few times on the vacation where she did not go on outings with us, wine tasting, scuba diving, etc. She also would only eat 2 meals a day, simply stating that she was on a budget. My family does favor more high-end expensive places. My parents thought it was very strange that she only eats 2 meals a day, although normally she eats 3. When I got home, I asked her why she skipped out on several of the outings and only ate 2 meals a day. I mentioned how I heard her stomach growling one night and I said I was concerned about her having an eating disorder. She got teary-eyed and said that 3 meals a day wasn't fiscally feasible for her, and neither were the outings that she chose not to go on. She went on 3 of the 6 outings. She said she was not expecting everything to cost so much, and she was overwhelmed. She also said she doesn't know if this was going to work long-term if she's expected to go on vacations like that with people who make so much more than her. I feel bad that I did not pick up her discomfort sooner, but we did agree to split everything 50-50, and I don't know why she agreed to come if the cost was an issue. Thoughts?
Oh my God, that sounds so toxic. I've never heard anything toxic in my life. So you're making $150,000 as an IT consultant, and you with this girl for 40 that makes 45K, whatever. My thing is, I get the 50-50 rule, if that's what y'all came up with. Like, I can't go against that. Like, maybe she was having her own itch shit, you know, for her to even to contribute to that rule, knowing that he makes 3 times more than you. You know, why would you set your... But maybe it's her pride. And like I said, we can't just take her out of that equation for her to even agree. First of all, yeah, let's get on her. Before I even rip into him, let's get on her, because clearly something is there with her. Because why would you go out? Why would you be skipping meals? You are skipping meals.
But she couldn't afford. That's why she skipped meals. She couldn't pay for 3.
That's my point. So you gonna go without food?
But wait, let's not forget that she got a part-time job as a waitress just to pay for the trip. And she still couldn't afford everything.
First of all, where was they eating? Like, no shade. Like, girl,
Well, he said that his parents have expensive taste. They like to go to expensive restaurants. So they probably was going to restaurants where they don't even have the price on the menu.
Well, she should, before I get into his toxicity, it really starts with her, because she allowed that. And you go waitress to go on a trip, then skip out on meals and events that you can't afford and never say anything. Like, so it's something wrong with her, that her pride, I don't know if it's pride, but let's just say it's pride, that she feels some kind of shamefulness or whatever, you know, being in a, you know, and it goes back to get off just this topic. Lil D, did you see that message that Lil Duval posted the other day? Like, if men only dated girls in their tax bracket, they would never be in a relationship. Basically saying that women always be acting like they can't, that they always have to get a man that's doing so much that, you know, like women want men and making all this money, but they don't expect the woman to, they don't feel like the woman should have to match, which is the opposite of what this homegirl is saying. But Lil Duval was just saying, like, if men dated women only, you know, that was in their tax bracket. And it just made me think about, first of all, maybe with her, it's like, well, girl, are you, is it your pride? Is it your self-esteem? What's going on there? Because, okay, clearly you know that you're not making as much. He makes three times as much as you. And he has a family to support him that makes, you know, so he probably, when you think about his whole total worth, he's probably making 5 to 10 times more than you, his worth. And you trying to compete with that as a teacher? Like, that doesn't make sense. Like, you gonna get a second job, you're gonna go skip out of, like, to me, that means she's trying to compete, or she's trying to put herself, girl, I don't make that much money. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have it. So what do you think about her? Before we get on him, I think the obvious, he is very obvious. We can really rip it to him. She is what I'm really concerned about, because this bitch's stomach was growling. And she took a job as a waitress just to pay for a trip that she could not afford. Still couldn't afford. But tell me, I'm asking, where do you stand?
I'm not a person who believes in always taking the woman's side and just dogging out niggas. That's not me. I don't even know if they were black or Wahite. I don't know. But
I'm not with you, this is Wahite.
But I don't feel the same way about Doc. I understand what you're saying. Like,
maybe talk about him. Tell me about her. I want to hear your.
I'm telling you about her. I don't feel the same way that you're saying about her. As far as saying it's something wrong with her, I think that if she thought that the trip was going to be something nice and she wanted to do it, and they always split everything 50-50 after dating for two years. I mean, if that's the agreement she made, then I guess she set herself up for that. So I guess I will say that she did set herself up for that. If that's something she agreed with, we do everything 50-50 and they're going on this expensive trip. You know you can't afford it, but you're gonna try. But sometimes you do stuff like that to be able to do stuff. Sometimes you might pick up some extra hours to do something like that. People do that to do for vacation. I'm going on vacation, so I'm gonna work some extra hours. I'm gonna work overtime at the plant. Like, people do stuff like that. So her picking up another job, it sounded like her doing it as a waitress, kind of like, I mean, it does seem like that's a lot, but I mean, maybe she just really want to spend time with her boyfriend and she wanted to go on this trip. She ain't mind and never been there before. And she's like, okay, well, I'm going to try to make this work because I do want to go and I want to spend time with my man and I'm just going to make it work. So I don't have to eat all three. I can only eat twice, even though she knows she's hungry as hell. I'm not saying starve yourself. If you can't eat, I'm not saying do that. But my whole thing is this. First of all, as far as what Lil Duval said and being not dating out of tax bracket and stuff like that, I have I have a chip on my shoulder when it comes to that, because just a little transparency about my mother and the person that was supposed to be my daddy, or he was going to adopt me. Talk about this all the time. He originally broke up with my mama because they weren't in the same tax bracket and my mother didn't have a college education. So she wasn't, I guess she didn't have enough credentials for him as far as making it long term. So he left her and got with this other chick that worked with him at his job that pretty much almost left him for dead when he got cancer. But that's here, neither here, there. So I have a little chip on my shoulder when it comes to stuff like that, because I saw what my mother went through when a man, he actually acted out on that thought. Like, this woman doesn't have a college education. She's not off on weekends. She can't do this. She can't do that. I need a woman that can kind of keep up with me. And how it hurt my mama, I don't side with that little Duval shit. Like, I mean, I understand what he's saying, but my mother wasn't like that. You know, this was somebody that she didn't seek him. He tried to get with her at a bar. So I'm saying, like, nigga, you came to me. You know what I'm saying? And when you met me, she had me. I was little. I was a baby when he came around. So you knew what you was walking into, and she had the same job. You knew what you was walking into when you did that. So in some cases, I don't like that. So I guess I'm a little bit more empathetic for her just maybe because of my own stuff with my mama's self-esteem, what she went through. So not, it's not the same situation, but when you say that, I'm like, but yeah, but sometimes you might date a man who had, you know, is you dating up and he's able to do all this kind of stuff and he know that you can't. And, you know, that's why I don't my whole thing is this. I don't understand the 50-50 in that case. Because how can y'all be 50-50 and y'all don't even make the same amount of money?
Okay. So I don't, of course, Lil Duval is being ignorant, but he's only being ignorant to the female's ignorancy.
And again, that's what I'm saying. It's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing. Like, he's being ignorant because the females have that same, going back to what we were saying, what was that? We talked about this other episode about women not being a, who was it? Your girl. You know, I'm like, you know what I don't care for? Yeah, B. Simone, that girl. So he was giving that. And so, you know, I don't really support Lil Duval and all of that, but I think it's easy to go to him. I do think it, like this conversation could easily go to him. And I'm being devil's advocate in a way, and I hate using that word, that phrase, but I really want to get into her because it doesn't make sense. Like, you are, to me, it sounds like a cry out for help from her because you're doing all of this and you saying it's a trip. We all do that for the trip, but I'm not doing, like, I mean, I guess I just love myself a little bit more. Like, bitch, if you making, like just say the equivalency of 5 times more than me, I'm not about to break my back to try to compensate for that gap, that wealth gap for a fucking trip. It's not about to happen. It's not about to happen. Like, bitch, if you want me on that yacht, you're gonna pay for me on that yacht. If you order a lobster, you're gonna pay for that lobster. I could take my stir-fried chicken. You know what I'm saying? And so I just don't, and then for her to go without meals and for her to agree to this 50-50, it can't be 50-50 when it's that big of a gap. It's no way. It's no way that you're going to, I'm not even going to participate in that. Like, if you think that you make more, and it's okay for someone to make more than someone else. Yeah. But that comes with responsibility just across any situation, not just a relationship. If you're in a different tax bracket, if you make a certain different type of money, that comes with more responsibility. Everybody say more money, more problems. So you're not about to put that burden on me, but you want to be with me and I'm going to go 50-50. It just, to me—
No, she shouldn't have ever agreed to that. I agree with you. She should have never agreed to that. And maybe she was trying to fall into that role of, I'm not trying to be a gold digger. I'm not trying to be one of these bitches out here who's trying to get off on my
man. You're a fucking teacher. The world knows teachers don't make money. That ain't no secret.
No, but I guess she's saying that I'm still not going to try to seem like I'm trying to eat off him. I'm trying to be, again, I'm trying to be a gold digger, trying to, you know, requiring him to say, well, look, because I do feel bad for her that she would accept some bullshit like that too. When I think about it, because girl, she needs to listen to some Kyrisha and them. So she needs to, girl, that's not even how you do that. Like, my thing is, I'm not saying use him, but my whole thing is this, even in a friendship, that should not have happened. None of that should have happened, even in a friendship. Like, and I think I might go a little bit way over, but I don't know what race they are. But I just think that, you know, people are funny with money. People don't want to talk about it. They would, you know, that it's my money and stuff like that. And I'm not saying everybody's money, my money or your money or anybody's money should be everybody's money. I'm not that person. But in a situation like that, and I'm with you for 2 years, they probably are having sex with each other. I mean, if you see that as I'm going through something, you thought I had an eating disorder? Nigga, you didn't ask me. If I had an eating disorder, you thought I'm just over having an eating disorder. You just sitting there like, why wouldn't you ask me about that?
You heard my fucking stomach. You heard my stomach growl.
And you didn't say nothing about it?
No, my parents brought up the fact that you're only eating 2 times a day.
And you
and y'all allowed this to happen. Yeah. So like I said, we could really dig into him. I think it's really easy to go into his ignorance. and his shit, because that is just sick. Like you said, like, I'm having sex with you. I'm with you for 2 years. I came to a trip with you and your family, and I gotta fucking skip a meal. If that's not emotionally like that, I don't even know how she, I don't even know how she can continue a relationship with that person, because that has to, that has to deplete you completely. That you literally made a decision to skip a meal to make yourself worthy financially to be in this relationship. That's why I'm so worried about her, because that he is acting so nonchalant, like he just didn't know. Oh, I wish she would have said something. So like I said, he is definitely like, we're about to get into him. But for her, I'm just like, what, how is, like, for you to like say, I'm not gonna eat just to try to make myself comparable to this man and their family. Like, that has to be the most degrading thing out there, yeah, right? I don't know what else is more, I mean, yeah, you know, that's up there of being just all self-esteem depleted.
Yeah.
You know, and regardless of what she agreed to, y'all ain't no 2 years, y'all ain't just met. That ain't no new, like you said, bitch, you getting a dick, you fucking, bitch, I'm fucking you. You better make sure I eat 3 times a day. Bitch, if you hear my stomach growling and you got some pussy or some dick last night, bitch, you better make sure my stomach don't growl again. Like, you don't just, because she said, why did she say anything? So let's just go to him. Let's just go to him.
Like, well, no, I want to stay on her for a minute too, because I do feel bad that she, because that is something to talk about, women dating men who are, you know, these high value men, mm-hmm, that, you know, Kevin Samuels keeps screaming about, that don't want bitches who ain't doing shit and all this kind of stuff, or they ain't got nothing going on, or they got a kid and all this kind of stuff. So these high value men and women trying to date up to get to them. And that's why I want to talk about relationships, because that's why I want to say relationship. Like, what I try not to say, again, like I said last night, I try not to, I understand everybody's sandbox is going to operate differently. So I'm being open to, it's not going to operate the same as how I would want it or think it. But what is a relationship that you are in when a man allow you for your stomach to growl, like you are hungry, you are on a couple's vacation, and you can't even do all the events that the other couples is doing. You sitting out when this person is going out by himself. They're like, where is it? Where's such and such at? Oh, she just didn't come. And you don't, well, I don't know why she didn't come. You just want to play dumb.
You gonna play dumb.
And then you keep throwing about, and then they, when they have conversations, if he just throwing it out here, this was on Reddit, by the way. If he just throwing out how much money he making on Reddit, how much money she make on Reddit, they have those conversations. He lets her know that he makes 150K and she doesn't make as much. This is known in the relationship. This ain't, mm-hmm, nothing that this hush hush. He is an asshole. So he's letting her know that. So you are dealing with this in your relationship with a man that you've been with for 2 years. You don't work. You don't have any self-worth, or you don't think highly enough of yourself to, you know what I'm saying? This man don't care about you. Have you seen that meme around here? Like, if a guy takes you out on a date, what is it? If a guy takes you out on a date and he doesn't offer to pay, he hates you or something like that, mm-hmm, something to that degree. That might be not saying that, but in that case, I kind of agree. Like, you can't possibly love me if you sitting up here and I'm hungry and you're letting me be hungry. You hear my stomach and you think it's something wrong with me and you don't even ask. You either I'm hungry or I got an eating disorder. Either way, you didn't say shit. And I didn't say, and then
your parents have to say something. How embarrassing that your parents had to come in like, why is she only eating 2 times a day? And the fact, and my thing is, regardless of the fact that we know that teachers are underpaid and they are the future. Like, there is no profession without teachers. No. And so for you to try to get with someone that is doing that kind of work, that's just like being a community organizer. Yeah. That's just being, you know, like, you know, certain people is fortunate to, you know, do this work in community and be able to make money and not have to, you know, be in work for, you know, like, you know, it's privilege within that. But at the end of the day, we know a lot of times people on the grassroots in community don't make that kind of money, but they're the most influential of making changes in the world, you know? And so you with this person as a teacher, and you, like you said, that conversation has come up. She has been told, embedded, and let had that he makes three times much as her and that his family is wealthy. And so when I say I have to include the family, so that three times can easily be six times. Because if I'm worth 150, just my paycheck, but my mom and dad is worth, you know, 500,000 a year or a million a year, that's you know how we talk about the what's the Indian version of white? What is it? Hitu? Wahitu?
Oh, Wahite.
Wahite. The Wahites, they money is generational. Their money keep funneling. Like, it doesn't stop. Like, if we are worth $1 million as the Bradshaws, and the, you know, one of the Bradshaws become a doctor, they make it 300,000, but that money still funneling in. The money doesn't stop funneling in. So if I'm worth $150,000, but like he mentioned, his family is worth all that money, you have to incorporate that because because that influences the house. So yes, I only make $150,000 a year, but my house might be worth $5 million. Why, you say? Because my family is worth $5 million. I'm just adding to, like, there's no loss with me because I'm adding to the pot.
Yeah,
and that's just the way it goes. It's a pot of money that you keep funneling into and funneling out.
Yes.
And so her 45,000, you know, but still, if that's the person that you love and that's the person that you in a relationship for 2 years, I'm assuming you on the path of marriage. You know what I'm saying? Maybe not marriage, but at least long term. She should be included in that. That 45,000 should be included into your 150. Y'all should be worth 200,000.
Thank you. That's whole thing. Like, that should have been, what can we do, like, together? Okay, yes, I do make more money than you. So, okay, how can we make this work? Yeah, I want to contribute. Okay, you can contribute. So you pay what you can afford for ABC. I'll cover more for... Cover, nigga, first of all, you're covering more for the hotel. You're fucking me. You fucking me. You gonna pay more if you don't pay the whole thing. You're gonna pay more than I am because I'm letting you fuck me every night after you come back from your excursions and I'm sitting in this hotel and look like a dumbass bitch and I still let you fuck me. Nigga, no. You're paying.
And I'm hungry.
All right, and hungry. And
so
hungry.
You get dick without that third meal. Her stomach was growling. He heard her growling when he was on top of her.
Right. All right.
So he was on top of her. It was like, brr.
But I think that this shit, not even in relationships, friendships. I think what I was trying to go before, I think that we need to start thinking more group and stop being so separative when it comes to certain things. I think that we can help each other out sometimes. It doesn't make you weak. People don't, I don't want to look broke as fuck. And sometimes we have to help each other out. Mm-hmm. That's just it. When I get the means and it's something I want to do and I want to do with my friends and I want them to have an experience with me, what can you do? We're going to work this out. We're not doing 50-50. Because if there is a difference, we're not doing this. There's no way it could be 50-50. So what we're going to figure out what you can do, that you can still do everything that we do. And if I have to cover more because I want you here, who cares? Like, why would I care? What pride do I have? Or what standard? Oh, I'm putting down my guard. I'm not about to be sitting up paying them. I don't know. I'm going to look out for my friends and family if I can, if I want them to experience something with me and I might maybe have something more than I'm not going to even say it. I want you to come. Well, you know, mm-hmm. Eric, well, let's figure this out because I want you to be there and I want you to do everything I'm doing. So let's figure this out. You do what you can do. Come to me, tell me what you can do. And then I'll figure out everything else. but you're going to do everything we were doing. We're going to eat the, everything I eat. We're all going to do this together. There's no separatism in this. Huh?
At least eat.
Yeah, at least eat.
I'm not going to get a steak and you get a 5 for 5. Like, that's
no,
that is trifling. And I agree with you. But you know what brought me up? Because, you know, I just re-binged Sex and the City. And that's where I was with them. You know, Carrie did not have, she was a writer.
Yeah.
She was successful, but she just did not have the Charlotte to do anything and got millions of, she was rich and she didn't do anything. You know what I'm saying? And they were all in the same group. They all owned their house, but Carrie didn't have what they had.
And when Carrie almost lost her house. Right. And when Carrie almost lost her house,
yeah,
Samantha and Miranda. They was like, so Miranda was like, I got this. And Samantha was like, I can give you the rest. Like, right. That's how it's supposed to go. And you know, Charlotte was the one that, like, most people. Like, oh, no, people are funny about my... And you eventually, she came around. But yeah. I think that's how Charlotte and Miranda... I mean, Samantha and Miranda did it. I always love that episode because I love how they just... I'm going to give it to you. Like, I got it. I got it in my savings.
I got
like,
half of that.
She's right.
Like, half of that. We can, you know...
We can do this.
We could do this because I still, you have to be here. You know what I'm saying? They, you knew that, like, especially for Miranda, when the idea, even going up to season 6, when Carrie was leaving, like, no, Carrie, you have to be here. Like, Carrie has to be in New York. That was her best friend.
Right.
Like, it wasn't an option. You know, like you said, the way they was like, bitch, we'll pay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because they knew she was not just good for it, but knew that she was a successful woman, and that in her own right, that money is not always everything, right?
No.
Money is funneled to people differently. Look how Charlotte just got all that. Charlotte did do nothing but fuck an impotent man and who wanted her to have all that because he knew that he couldn't give her what she needed.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? So she didn't do anything. Nothing, they were all on the same, you know, life just happens.
Right.
And sometimes you might have different opportunities than other people. It ain't even about education. It's not even about job. It's just life. Life, money is not disseminated really through just by what you call that action. And, it, you know, a lot of it happens by chance. It happens by opportunity. It happens by being in the right place in the right time.
Yeah.
You could take two people doing the same thing in life and somebody could be way richer than you doing the same exact thing. I don't care what profession. You could be a doctor with a bunch of goddamn debt, or a doctor that has 7 clinics under their belt because
right.
they was able to get, you know, they were able to open up those clinics. They were able to be successful. They were able to become a business medical, you know what I'm saying? But a doctor is still a doctor, but that doctor is not equivalent financially to this other doctor that has 7 clinics across the metro area.
And to be honest with you, would he take people do that? Would he take, I heard a story about someone, he take people where they were saying it was, but it's, they were family though.
Mm-hmm.
But in their families, which I think is something, I'm not trying to dog us out. I just think they kind of operate in a way that's different than what we do. And I think maybe that, I don't say often we should do stuff like them, but I do think that's something good that they do, where they have this family and there'll be money. Like you were talking about, there's different people in the family who make different amounts of money. Some people in the family make a buku money, and it was another couple in the family, they was among making $300,000, which some people would say is a lot. But in their family, they were saying they was broke. So they family was like, when they go on vacations and they do stuff, they family was put money in like, okay, we're going to cover you guys because we know y'all only make $300,000 a year, but we want y'all to come on this trip. So we going to help and we going to put this here. We going to do this and we going to do that because y'all need to be here and we want y'all to do everything we doing. And that's just what it is. So it, even within families, it could be like that. And people will come sometimes in and fill in the gaps. Now, I understand some people, what's what he take people? They got generational wealth. Yeah.
Generational wealth does dictate the way people are able to disseminate money through.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but the mentality could be the same.
Yeah.
So just going back to this couple, she needs to, first of all, she needs to get out of the relationship.
Because
2 years and this is where you landed. With a gargling stomach, you need to let it go. I don't see no hope for it, no future. If I was to, you need to move on with your life. For him, you're an asshole. You treated her way below her worth. And that's the thing. People try to incorporate financial, monetary things as someone's worth. You know what I'm saying? And her worth, first of all, it's been a teacher to educate this fucked up world. It's always a beautiful thing. You know what I'm saying? We have to uplift people that's doing the work that allow people to, you know, be to move across this world, you know, and teachers need to get more. They need to get, we know they're underfunded. We know that they, you know, they go to, you know, people go to, people get, you know, EDDs in you know, education, and could be making less than $100,000, but been in school for 12 years, you know what I'm saying? So your worth is not necessarily how much you make.
No.
And if you don't have a man that will allow you, if you have a man that allow you to go hungry because you make $45,000, then that's not the man for you, regardless.
No. That was my thing too. I'm like, well, she's a teacher. Like, regardless of whatever, she makes 45K. She's a teacher. She deals with other people's badass kids on a regular basis. She deserves way more, regardless of whatever. So my thing is, you, her man, you should see that. You should be affirming her and letting her know this. You sitting in the back here, wait, I don't know what's going on, which is why I wanted to talk about this, like, relationships and, like, how people, that's why I'm going bringing it back to, we got to get off the internet and start meeting people in real life, because we got to meet, everybody in the life ain't assholes like that, but we keep on getting on the internet, consuming content, but reading about assholes like this, or that thread of all them women who was with them fucked up men, we're going to think that this is everybody, and it's really not. But I do question what relationships are nowadays, because I don't, how can you call that a relationship? That to me is not a relationship. That's your homeboy that you allow to fuck you. I mean, y'all might as well just been friends with benefits, because he didn't give a shit about you. I don't, him asking about when you got back home, when I got back home, not while we was on the trip, or maybe one night we got back to the hotel, I'm done, nigga, the trip is over. Now you want to ask me, well, why weren't you eating?
After I starved, after y'all was eating lobster tails, and I was still eating my brunch, I took home and put it in the microwave with the cold potatoes. You know, the cold brunch.
Yeah.
So she probably wasn't even eating all of it. She probably saved stuff.
Yeah, but take it back to the room. Yeah, she probably have eaten leftovers to tie her off.
That is horrible. And he gonna wait till after the trip to address that. He let her starve. First of all, she needs to get out of that relationship immediately.
Yes.
Immediately. And he needs to, if he doesn't respect that, then yeah, go get you someone that can match you. You know what I'm saying? I can't be mad at someone who wants what they want. But don't be with someone that you don't want.
Yeah.
And then
treat them like that.
That's really it. Like, I can't be mad at you if you make a certain amount of money and you want your man to make a certain kind of money. Who am I to say that you can't do that? Like with Lil Duval, like, who am I to say that? Like, you can, if you want a date in your bracket, and vice versa. First of all, I can find love. $45,000, you got $45,000, I got $45,000, you got good credit, I got credit, bitch. We can live a good life. Like, I don't need to make $200,000 to be happy and in love and have a house and have babies and have a dog. Like, we know that the American dream doesn't require all that, you know, to a certain degree, right? You don't have to live in poverty. Like, if a couple both making 40, if they both making $100,000 a year as a couple, that's enough to live the American dream. We know that to be a fact, to a certain degree, right?
To a certain degree, definitely.
Yeah, to a certain degree. I mean, buy a house, buy a dog, have babies. I mean, that's the American dream for most people. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you own your property, you know, and your property could be a two-bedroom house. You know, we know that. And so, if certain people, they want to live, they want to be, you know, for maybe y'all on the estates, properties. That, you know, and that's nothing wrong with that either. You know what I'm saying? So I just think you need to, but it goes back to what we hate on Lil Duval because his comment is ignorant. But it goes back to the conversation I think, man, you really do need to address. Oh, I want to hear more of what you feel about it. Financially yoke. Like, what does that, like, yes, you said like friends and stuff like that. But before we even get to like, you're my friend and I love you, we 2 years relationship. Just dating, like, what does that look like when you're not financially, like, if I make $100,000 more than you, should I be going on a date with you?
You can. I'm a product of that. I mean, I'm not a product of it. My mother, I was adjacent to a situation like that. It can work. But I think it just, the other person.
But you said what you said, though. So that's not saying it can work.
Well, but he eventually came back around. And then when he passed away, he took care of us very well. So.
But your mom suffered, hurt a little bit. That's based on what you said.
Oh, well, yeah. She did hurt in the beginning when he first did that. But my thing is, you can get a dude who might eventually come back around. Like, okay, no, that's, I mean, but if you feel like that's some bullshit, you like, having that status of just, not the status, us having the same, making the same amount, being in the same tax bracket ain't necessarily the key to my happiness. Like, yeah, we can go on more trips and eat filet mignon, but this person doesn't make me happy. You know what I'm saying? Ultimately. And so I guess it just depends on what your priorities are. I guess, yeah. I'll just say that. So if you do, I'm not saying if you want, if it means something to your priorities, like we have to make, be a part of a certain tax bracket because I'm a part of certain groups of people where we move a certain kind of way. And I need somebody that can move the same way as me. And I don't necessarily have to flip the bill because I don't want to. You can, that's fine.
I'm just letting y'all know, I'm looking to be a kept man. And so like when the bill comes, I just start filing my nails. That has always been my dream. And so I'm so secure with my partner making way more money than me. Like, bitch, I will be like, bitch, I have pom-poms. I'll be like a cheerleader. I'll be like, yes, go, yeah, you know, like, bitch, whatever I need to do. You know, that's just me, though. That comes with a lot of security within yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, it does. Like, I can't imagine that if I didn't have that security within myself, and it comes from being in a relationship that was already set like that. Like, I've already been in those positions.
Yeah.
So being in those positions already has kind of got me where I am today, where like someone making more money than me is, baby, you ain't saying nothing but a word. You know what I'm saying? But for other people that might talk about 50-50, no, baby, it don't have to be. Like, I do what I do, and baby, you do it all. You know, I'm just saying, I'm comfortable in that, but I know a lot of people probably like that girl. So it's really what the point that I'm making is what she went through. And you know, money is funny. Money is funny. Like, at the end of the day, dating, married, separated, divorced, money is always going to be funny. You know, it's always going to be an issue.
I mean, I think it is if you make it. I just think it was another something. I won't go far too much. Won't go too much into it. But the whole thing with Tabitha Brown, a lot of people Wendy said what she said, and a lot of people like, oh well, the woman shouldn't be the breadwinner. The woman shouldn't be trying to retire her husband. I am in groups of women of all races who that be they go. They like, I gotta make this happen. I gotta make this work because I'm retiring my husband. Like, that be they go, I want to retire my husband. So, but a lot of women are still in that whole role. No, he needs to make more. My man needs to make more money than me.
That's so old.
Yeah. And I'm like, I mean, so my whole thing is, it don't have to be, if we're a unit, we're one. For me, it don't have to be funny. It's only funny if we make it that way. But if we, I feel like if we, if we truly think money's a tool that we use to be able to do other things that we want to do in life, or to enjoy life or live life a certain kind of way, we want to do it. And, you know, if I'm up, we up. Or if you up, we up. Like, you know, like, it ain't nothing, you know, that whole what he doing. Because I'm like, girl, because if she married that man, you're signing a prenup, baby. He's going to make, and there's nothing wrong with that. He could protect himself, but he's going to throw his family's wealth in your face, even down to the damn wedding. Like, you can't get a piece of this.
You talking about the relationship we're talking about?
Yeah, no, not Tabitha. I'm talking about this relationship with this old girl. Like, he's always going to throw that in her face. Go. Yeah.
She's already, that's so embarrassing. The family that already says she's skipping meals. That make her look like the low of the low. You know what I'm saying? At that point, I don't even know how she could even get her pride back. And I agree with you, because I'm in a situation where money is not, like, it comes up, but it's not, you know what I'm saying? Like, for now, though, right? You know what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be a negative. Like, money does not have to be, it is the root of all evil, but it does not have to be bigger than what it is in your relationship. But you have to be truthful about the situation. I think that's what really, a lot of people like to pretend or be in fantasies or like to act like they can, you know, skip meals and go on trips. Like, to just be honest, you know, and I think that comes with practice and maturity, you know. But money is always, if you don't get control of money, you know, or finances in a situation, it can definitely become an issue.
No,
it can. You have to face it head on.
No, it's more expensive to be poor than it is to be rich. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just what it is. It costs you more to be poor than it is to be rich. That's just what it is, or to be wealthy or whatever. So, I mean, my views on money are, you know, definitely, I think, probably a lot different, but than most people's, especially people like us. But in a relationship like that, I couldn't see myself. I would feel I would feel disrespected, because my thing is, you saw me working a second job as a waitress trying to go on this trip. And my thing is, you didn't think anything enough to just, I'm not saying give me your money or pay for the trip. Some people are like, he should have paid for the trip. I'm not saying that. But you should have cared enough for me to be like, you work real hard to go on this trip. Like, I mean, if it's something I need to like fill in on or do something, like, cause I want you to go. But am I the asshole? Yes, he's the asshole. Because I just don't see how somebody could do that to somebody in a relationship. I just don't understand that. To me, in a relationship, I could never do that. I don't give a fuck. I couldn't see if I was going to Saint-Tropez and going to be on a yacht and my man like, oh, yeah, I want to go too. And we doing 50-50. And I see him working for Uber all day long on top of working 40 hours. What's going on? Why are you working for Uber all of a sudden? What are you doing? Well, I'm trying to make money for the trip. No. What's the problem? Well, tell me what's going on. Like you said, honesty. Tell me what's up. Like, what's going on? Like, what do we need to do? That's how me think. What do we need to do? Because that ain't going to work. I don't want you killing yourself and your stomach growling and you can't even go on all the excursions because you can't afford. Like, that's just my mindset. I wouldn't, why even accept you to go like that and sit back there and just like, I don't know what's going on. But I don't understand that. So I guess everybody moves, operates differently. She does need to leave him. I don't know what's going on with relationships nowadays. With stuff like that going on, I don't, if that's a relationship, I don't think I'm gonna call my next union a relationship, because I don't want that.
There's no way. And like I said, money, you have to just, it's gonna always be a topic. It's always going to be something. Cannot escape it.
You have to talk about living in the United States of America.
Yeah. And so people act like it doesn't exist. No. It doesn't come up. It's not used as shade. It's not used as all those things. Money is, again, the root of all evil. I do believe that. And it's not purposefully, like, you know what I'm saying? It's just the way we live in a capitalistic society where money has power, money has, you know. And so, you know, to be honest, could I be in a relationship with someone? Yes. I already said that. Yes, I could be in a relationship with someone, make it three times as much. Yes. You know, please, let me just sit in the house. You know, don't work, clean, you know, I'm not even a cleaner, but I will you know, if I have to be, you know. So yes, but also my ego and my determination is always to like move forward and find ways to do it. You know, it ain't gonna be working no second job as a waitress, and it definitely ain't gonna be skipping no meals. But you know, to each his own, you know what I'm saying? To each his own, and she thought that was gonna work, but that just shows the level of her self-esteem and her situation. But I feel like we all are striving, you know, sometimes your partner, if they're making more money than you, then that is a motivation to do better or do more. If within your, you know, if I'm a teacher, I can only do but so much. If you're in IT, like I can never, like education would never get me to IT. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Money. Like if you're, I don't care if I'm the principal, I'm still not going to make that much money. You know what I'm saying? But my impact and, you know, what I do in this world. So I just think it's an intimate, money is an intimate relationship between two people. It really is. It's intimacy too. Money becomes like the same way you lay on that bed, head to head, pillow to pillow. Money should come up in those conversations. And I think you should treat it the same way. It shouldn't be no separate. Oh, I love you. I want to be with you. Da, 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 da. Oh, I made 3 times as much as you. You need to figure it out. No, it should be the bed. The money should be in the bedroom and those pillow talks.
I mean, yeah, if you care about the person, but clearly he, you know, I think another thing that we have not mentioned is class. He's a classist. I think one of those people who was like, I'm of a certain class, and people of a certain class, if they don't have it, they need to figure out how to get it. And it's not my job to help them out and get it to do anything about it. And that's fine if you feel, no, it ain't fine to me. It ain't fine if people think like that. Cause I feel like if that's your girlfriend, especially, yeah, she
needs for 2 years. Yeah, for 2 years. That's my thing, bitch. She in your class at that point, bitch, 2 years. Well, that ain't 2 days, 2 weeks.
But people who are classes, they are very, because it's somebody I watch on YouTube and she's kind of a classist. Like, you know, I come from a good family. I come from this, I come from that. And I'm like, well, everybody's story, you act like you're a better person because you come from that. But if somebody else doesn't come from there, they're doing something different. You know, this woman in this case is a teacher. So she went to school, she's a teacher. She just doesn't have a high paying position. So if I'm your girlfriend, you keep on, I'm in IT and my family's affluent and I'm this and I'm that and I'm this. Like you said, her self-esteem has to be to the floor. So I want, yeah, she definitely needs to dump him and she needs to probably need to figure out some type of self-healing to heal herself, to get her confidence up so she can date a man and get her vibrations rising up so she can date somebody who is on a frequency that is in a good space, that is not going to use their money over you or try to just always throw their money at you. And they like, we're union, we're one, we're together. And you know, you don't have to, they would never allow you to sit and be hungry. They would never allow you to go and work your ass off after being a teacher, dealing with other people's badass kids, being a waitress, having to deal with more people with badass attitudes. They would never let you do that. Just because they, even if it meant they had to, well, I won't go on this trip. If it's that, I won't go. That it's okay. I don't want you to have to go through all that. You know what I'm saying? Somebody who cares about you, like, gosh, give a damn about me. Give a fuck about me, nigga. We are in a relationship. Like, what the fuck? So that was my whole thing. Like, what is, I'm like, is this what relationships are? I don't know what's going on with, but like you said, she needs help or healing.
And, yes, you know, she's need healing on her end for sure. And he just going to be, he's horrible.
He's an asshole. Answer this question, am I the asshole?
Yes. You are the asshole. 2 years. She should not, y'all should not be having that conversation 2 years later that you feel like you will let her go hungry. Like, that's the part that just really grinds my gears. That she was hungry. Like, you heard her stomach growling. She was on a trip with you and your family. Like, it gotta be some Oaxaca shit. Yeah. I can imagine though, Negra going through that. There's got to be some Oaxaca. It got to be.
Well, I feel bad for her if she's a Oaxaca and she.
Oh, it's Oaxaca.
Yeah. If she's a, if that's what she is.
I like Oaxaca because it's the I. So it's like, well, is Oaxaca set in stone? Is that just the normal way of saying it?
Wahite. You can say however you want to. I just, you know, Wahite. I don't, you know.
Oh, Wahite, because the I, so you know I'm saying white. But anyway, go ahead.
Whatever race, girl, get out of that relationship, dump him, spend some time with yourself, and affirm yourself and realize the value of who you are as a person. You're a human being and you deserve better than an asshole like that. That's it, that's all.
Umbra Emerson, so the girls want to know how they can get back in contact with you after this subject. Like, they might want some more advice, they could be paying, they might be going skipping out on meals too. How can they, you know, reach you and say like, bitch, what should I do,
girl? Well, you can always find me on Instagram or S Style, or you can go to my website, sstyle.com. That's pretty much where you can find me. But girl, don't expect no advice like that. Girl, I don't have much to offer in situations like that. Dump them. That's it. Leave them. Kick them to the curb. That's it. That's all I got. But that's where you can find me.
You can find me at Mr. Telltales across the board. Mr. Telltales on Facebook. No, on IG. And on Facebook, I'm Mr. Telltales. But I'm also Tyreek Daniels on Facebook. And my free Twitter got suspended. I'm not even going to tell you why. But so hit me up on my regular Twitter, Tyreek Daniels, because, you know, my free Twitter is suspended. And they really stick by those rules. I'm so mad. I'm like, okay, well, how long am I going to... I've been suspended for 2 weeks. It's like, when y'all going to let me back into the general population? And I think they will. So it's over. So I'm Mr. Telltales. You can see...
Okay.
All right, but I get to see Emerson. Holla.
Holla. Carry the torch, I'm gonna hold it down. I'm ripping for the town. I'm doing it through my damn sound. I'm aiming for the top, hit it for the ground. Try carry my city through my sound. I gotta hold it down. When I link with ruler, why they could never stop me. New sounds on the way, and they could never copy. We'll chop this soul right in front of you like a